Astronaut Thomas Mattingly was dropped from the Apollo 13 crew today because he is likely to contract the measles in the next few days. NASA replaced him with backup pilot John Swigert and ordered the flight to begin as scheduled tomorrow afternoon. Here is a report from NBC News correspondent John Chancellor at Cape Kennedy.
The past 2 days, Swigert has been practicing spaceship operations, operations where three men must work as one in a very intense run-through. He has performed well against an extremely tough deadline. Nobody pretends that Swigert has had as much practice as the men he replaces. And to make the trip easier for him, they have dropped some of the photographic tasks assigned to his job, tasks which previously had been assigned as quite significant. In the meantime, the weather here is good, and the forecast for tomorrow's launch is for clouds, possibly some rain, but they do not expect the squally weather which could delay the launch. And the preparations go on. The new crew of astronauts will be here tomorrow morning, scheduled to lift off just after 2 in the afternoon Eastern Time. The decision to go ahead with the mission seems to represent NASA management more than it does the astronauts themselves. And there is no question that the pressures on James Lovell and Fred Hayes have increased, not to mention the pressures on the new man, John Swigert. But these pilots are superbly trained men taught to work well together. And if the weather holds, they lift off from here tomorrow on Apollo 13.
Lovell and Hayes are scheduled to land on the moon at 9:55 next Wednesday night. They are aiming for a hilly region called Fra Mauro. Scientists believe the region is covered with rocks from deep below the lunar surface, blasted out millions of years ago by meteors. This is a close-up of the landing site. The picture covers an area of about 1.5 square miles. The most prominent feature is the cone-shaped crater on the right, and it's named Cone Crater. It's several hundred feet high, and the astronauts hope to climb up to its lip on their second moon walk. They will be outside the spacecraft twice for a total of 8 to 10 hours. They will be on the surface of the moon for 34 and a half hours. As on the two previous trips, they will install a scientific station to gather more information about the moon's structure and formation. On this flight, they will drill 3 holes 10 feet deep and bring home extensive core samples. They will also return about 100 pounds of rocks gathered on their walks. Lovell and Hayes expect to venture more than a mile away from the spacecraft. Of course, NBC News will carry it all live and in color. Coverage begins tomorrow afternoon at 12:30.
Time is 2:13 Eastern Standard Time this afternoon. And they could launch any time between then and 5:37 this afternoon, which gives them a launch period of 3 hours and 24 minutes. And that is called the launch window. And there are a number of factors that go into determining just how much time they will have on any given day to get the launch underway. One, they want to launch in daylight from Cape Kennedy, which is on the east coast of the United States. Obviously, this will also give them daylight in the immediate recovery area should they have to abort the flight and land in the Atlantic. But then they also want daylight conditions over the middle of the Pacific, a revolution and a half later, when they fire up the engines again and start them toward the moon. So those three characteristics have to be taken into consideration. More important than any of that are the lighting conditions that will prevail on the moon more than 3 days from now when they get there. Because they want the light to be just so that when they come in, go into orbit around the moon, orbit it for nearly 2 days, and then start to come down at the landing point, Fra Mauro, so that the angle of sunlight will be 9.9 degrees behind them. This last flight, Apollo 12, they had a sun angle of about 5 degrees. And they figured that low sun angle may have contributed to the problem that Pete Conrad had in seeing through some of the dust as he tried to land. So now they want the lighting conditions slightly different. One could wonder if they don't get off at 2:13 and did have to get off at 5:37, how do they adjust for that time differential by the time they get to the moon? Well, no matter what time they take off here, they will land on the moon at the same time. They can make up the difference by adjusting the speed with which they get to the moon. So that's what the flight window is. It's 3 hours and 24 minutes long, and that's how they arrive at when it starts and when it ends, to do a lot of back timing and figuring and taking a lot of different factors into consideration. John? Are you there, John?
Yes, and here it is. There's a picture of the launch tower next to the rocket itself with the spacecraft sitting on top. And you can see those various arms. Well, it's hard to see them now, but the one you're looking at now, there was a sort of a catwalk there before, and it has been taken away. This is one of the indications that launch is ready. That catwalk is taken back to a temporary, a sort of a holding position, so they can swing it back if there's trouble. But if we can look again, you can see that there are nine of those catwalks from that big tower leading over to the rocket itself. And that's where they do the final work and the final fueling on the rocket. And I can't count quite accurately now, but some of them have been taken back, and some of them will swing back in about 14 minutes and 50 seconds when we do have ignition. But as you can see, everything is going well, and they tell us that the countdown is slightly ahead of itself. Frank?
14 minutes and 40 seconds from scheduled liftoff. The spacecraft has now gone to internal power, and that access arm or catwalk that John was talking about swings away completely and fully at 5 minutes before liftoff. We'll be back in just a moment for the most exciting part of it. Right now, a station break.
NBC News continues its coverage of the flight of Apollo 13. A trip to Fra Mauro. This special NBC News report is brought to you by the Gulf Oil Corporation, producers of more and better energy from oil.
Welcome back. It's now 12 minutes and 5 seconds, and the countdown is still continuing. No major problems of any nature have developed at the Cape, either with the launch vehicle or the command module or the crew. They are inside, locked in, just waiting for the moments to click away until they take off and head for the moon, which at this time of the month is 214,360 nautical miles away. The figure will be used, a 500,000-mile journey, because usually you think of the moon as being 250,000 miles away. And Chancellor?
I can hear you, Frank.
How are things going?
Well, the countdown is still very slightly ahead. Apparently it has gone flawlessly, aside from one valve that was to vent excess oxygen, and there are alternate valves. That got a little sticky. They went to the alternate valves. Some radar equipment acted up badly in the Atlantic. We don't know if that's fixed yet or not on the tracking ship. But this is really getting close to perfection. There have been no holes, no indications at all that there is anything, any mechanical problem of any kind. And 11 minutes from now, given everything we know, that rocket should be taking off. The fueling has been going well, we are told, from mission control. The crew now is quiet, having been very busy checking out their pre-flight routine. They are now very quiet. And all of the people here who surround Cape Kennedy, about 100,000 of them, in 25,000 cars, 500 airplanes, all of the statistics of the people who come to see these things, all of them are sitting out there now under slightly overcast clouds, waiting for the rocket to go off. But it has been a splendid countdown. Everything has been going well. The chief astronaut, Deke Slayton, tells us that the crew was in very fine fettle this morning when they had their steak and eggs. And now we're going to have an announcement from Chuck Hollinshead at the... Well, no, hold on, Frank. Frank, I'm to return it to you.
Thank you, John. And we will be back in just a moment. Right now, this word from Gulf. 7 minutes and 48 seconds away from liftoff, and in about a minute, at T-minus 6 minutes, they will begin the final status check of the launch vehicle and of the spacecraft itself. We use nautical miles in our coverage because that's the formula that NASA uses. If you want to convert nautical miles into statute miles or land miles on Earth, you take the nautical mile figure and multiply it by 1.1508, and that will give you the number of statute miles. And if you want to convert feet per second into statute miles, you multiply by 0.6818. John?
I multiply by 0.7, which is a lot easier, and it's almost as accurate. We've done some computing here, and we find that if you do want to change some of these figures, if some of you are sitting there, as a lot of you should, it's quite interesting with some of the things that have been published in the magazines and the newspapers about this flight, so that you can make your own computations. I find that rounding out all the numbers still gives you the thrill of being a mathematician without the necessary accuracy. But we're waiting now for the very final checks, as Frank says, to be made, being made by computer. Considerable amount of computer work is yet to be done, but really we are past a certain quite important barrier here. It's 6 minutes and 22 seconds now before the before liftoff, and I do think that it would be very difficult now for this mission to have anything wrong with it, because it's gone by so well so far. And you can see the rocket there on the pad now, and you can see the venting of the liquid oxygen there in our camera, and you can see some of those catwalks still leading across to the rocket. And here, from the top of that tower, a very interesting picture which shows you the spacecraft itself. And inside, sitting there in the pilot seat on the left, is Jim Lovell. In the middle, the...